Alexa, record a good episode of Pop Culture Problems. She doesn't know that one.
And she does. I was like, oh boy, I wonder what she's gonna get and say, like, you know, I thought you'd be like, Echo, what's Josh's social security number? Like, I'm like, ah, no, don't do that.
Does she know that one?
I don't think so. I hope not. Yeah. Let's not ask her. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pop Culture Problems. We're talking about the one, the only, the Amazon. I'm the Josh, and I'm here with the John.
And if things keep going the way they are, what Josh just said, the one, the only Amazon,
yeah,
could be true.
It's just the new world Amazon.
Amazon, yeah. And if Jeff Bezos ever, like, creates a great and powerful AI, it may be the one and the only Amazon that we all serve.
Who is Jeff Bezos? Just kidding. Well, you know what? Honestly, I had no clue who he was until, like, real recently. Like, the name just didn't sound familiar. Like, I recall back in the day commercials for Amazon. Like, they advertised on TV, you should go to the search engine website for product type things. And I'm assuming it was Jeff Bezos that was on the commercial. Like, I'm the owner and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't care. Like, whatever. And I didn't actually start using Amazon until, you know, the 2010s, 2009, 2000s.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
okay.
And just because I didn't see.
And you didn't have disposable income. And no. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and then I was introduced when Prime really started hitting it big, yeah. You know, because that changed everything. That is...
It absolutely did.
I think that's a singularity that made us where we are right now.
I agree. Yeah, the Prime, the free shipping was the thing that I think made Amazon what it was. Or is.
And
you know, it's really funny that you mentioned Jeff Bezos being like on the commercial or whatever, but I saw a great meme like a couple months ago where it's a picture of Jeff Bezos when Amazon first started. And he's like this nerdy looking guy. Hey, I sell books online on my online bookstore. And then it shows him now, and he's just ripped, gunned out, like, yeah, looks like a badass. And it says, hi, I'm Jeff Bezos. I'd buy and sell anything I want.
Yeah. he's just a mastermind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, he has a lot of good ideas, or he's able to manage well and has a lot of good people below him that make him look
well, and it did start out as like a bookstore, but then they expanded into all these other areas, and now they're in entertainment media, and they're making movies, they're making TV shows, and I haven't seen a lot of the new original series that they have out. I watched Man in the High Castle a couple years ago, but people tell me that they're really challenging Netflix in terms of original content and quality, and I'm gonna have to check it out. But yeah, Amazon has just like blown up into like this thing that is just so all-encompassing that it has moved its tendrils into all parts of our lives.
Let's discuss quickly the elephant in the room, so to speak, before we get into Amazon, because we're going to talk a lot about Amazon. One, we're not paid by Amazon. Two, I would love to be the Amazon spokesperson. That's a whole different conversation in its own. But I don't have any stake in Amazon in that respect. I don't own stock in Amazon, etc. Yeah, but one of the issues with Amazon is people feel that it's taking over, similar to how like a Walmart took over. And it's really funny how the shift has changed to a different entity. I remember the big box stores, like the Walmarts. It was like, oh, they move into
a small town.
Yeah,
they were the great villain.
Taking over.
Yeah.
And now it's just like Walmart's like, damn Amazon. Like, you know, it's creating that even for the biggest businesses. Tell me your thoughts, because I can share mine as well, about the local mom-and-pop shop business, the big retailer, and Amazon, and how they fit together, and is it okay for Amazon to exist? Is it shutting down the small businesses? I mean, what do you feel?
Well, I think I have somewhat of a unique perspective here, because I actually did own a retail business at one point. And it's very hard to compete against Amazon. But, I mean, you look at the arc of retail throughout the history of, let's say, the last 100 years in the United States. Let's just look at the United States. You had, like, your country store. You think about, like, the Old West. You had, like, your store that you would go to for, like, your flour and things like that. And that was the crux of the economy of a small town, was like you got everything on your main street and things like that. But then this little company called Sears Roebuck came along. Mm-hmm. and you had the Sears Roebuck catalog. And then all of a sudden, people started getting their stuff from Sears Roebuck mail order. And that like really put the crunch on the small mom and pop stores on the main street. And things kind of transitioned to that mail order model of business. And then Sears opened up its own storefronts. And then you kind of went back to that storefront retail process. And I think we're just back into that kind of mail order, digital internet type of buying and selling of things. And I think it'll come back, but definitely Amazon is dominating the marketplace right now. But yet Amazon is starting to open its own storefronts now too. So are we going to see the same thing happen to Amazon that happened to Sears Roebuck? Like 100 years from now, are we going to be talking about how Amazon basically disappeared? Like how Sears has kind of disappeared?
I don't think so. I just don't think so, because I think the problem with a lot of with mom and pop stores, with the Sears, with some of the big box stores, they're not very forward thinking. Amazon 5 years ago, maybe even more, was looking into drone delivery technology. Mm-hmm. Years ago, they were looking into how do we have our own delivery service. Years ago, they were looking into
which is now the United States Postal Service.
Yeah, which is, but how do we? And it's a huge. The post office was in dire straits, and Amazon came along and gave them business.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a huge good thing for our economy and for our post office. But they were looking at how do we offer food services and just door to door delivery, and they've been working on that stuff nonstop because they know. They cannot survive and compete long term if they don't evolve and grow and change.
But if, you know, 50 years from now, Jeff Bezos isn't around anymore, if that man who kind of drove the cart isn't there anymore, driving the cart with his ideas, with his revolutionary ideas, does it die?
Because you have to really screw something up for it to die, and that's possible. But like, you know, how's Apple doing?
Well, you know, true, but Apple doesn't have the pizzazz that it once did with Steve Jobs. I mean, like, it's one of those things where, like, I think 50 years from now, we look at Amazon a lot differently. We look at Apple a lot differently than, I mean, look at Microsoft back in the 90s. Everybody looked at Microsoft and they were like, geez, nobody will ever touch them. They dominate the market. People were basically saying they have a monopoly.
Yeah.
I mean, there were antitrust cases and stuff back in the 90s. And now Microsoft is just another technology company. I mean, they're a super major technology company, but you have those companies that move into the marketplace that see something that, and this will likely happen eventually with Amazon, where there's a company that'll move into the marketplace that will see something that Amazon isn't providing, or they will improve the service line that Amazon is already providing and do it better. And I think Amazon is like, it's hard to look at it right like that right now, because it's just, it dominates all our entire life.
I know where you're coming from. I just don't think that they're touchable for another 100 years at minimum. I just don't think they are, because they are, if another company comes along.
In 2118, when we're recording our 10 millionth episode. Well, I couldn't do the quick math there, but it'll be like probably 10,000th episode.
Episode.
we'll talk about it.
But here's the thing, John. And here's what Amazon, I think, does. I think Amazon does this better than almost anybody else. At least they have been doing it as good. They are really good at selling products, but they are very good buyers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If some company comes along and creates a service Amazon's not offering, Amazon just buys them.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, because they have the money to do so. Let's say you created the next big thing. You as an individual, as a, you know, as a dad, as a husband, if Jeff Bezos came in and said, okay, look, I'm going to give you $100 million for this idea, would you take it, or would you try to ride the wave and hope they're not going to come up with their own version?
No, I take $100 million.
Yeah, you just take it. Like, you just take it and you run. And that's not bad for you. It's not bad for Amazon. It's not bad for Amazon's customers. And that's why I think they're just going to survive so long.
Did anybody ever try to buy out Jeff Bezos at one point?
I don't know.
That's something I'd be curious about. Yeah.
Well, So for me, the small business, the problem that I have with it, I try very hard to support small businesses and local businesses. Uh-huh. But it comes down to two things. Price, expediency, and customer service.
Yeah.
If you have the product, I can buy the product from you. But so often, if I have to go, even with the big box stores, if I go into a big box store and they don't have something and I have to go to their website to order it, why not just get it on Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah, why should I get it at an online retail store for them?
And that's the advantage, too, that Amazon has, is the upfront costs that basic brick-and-mortar retailer would have, like rent. Having to rent a space and have employees that are there running the cash register and things like that on a daily basis. Amazon doesn't have that. Amazon's they're upfront
warehouses.
Yeah, okay, but the warehouse space is $5 a square foot, and brick and mortar storefront space is probably starting at $15 a square foot. So I mean, they automatically have a competitive advantage against just based on the fact that they work out of like a warehouse model.
It's
not like packaging up boxes and things like that isn't necessarily skilled labor. Mm-hmm. And yet sales and things like that at a storefront, you have to have a little bit of a skill, and you're gonna have to pay those people a little bit more than you do like warehouse labor. So
yeah.
I mean, like the business model that Amazon has, that's why they've been able to just dominate the market, and that's why they're able to offer the prices that they offer, is because they've cut the margins so well.
Yeah. But now price is my second point. So the fact that I can get something from you, because a lot of businesses, mom and pop shops, can't keep a stock like Walmart or Amazon or anybody mm-hmm. above them.
Yep.
Walmart can't even keep as big of a stock because they're just offering it at a local store. So sometimes that's an issue for me where I'm like, you don't have what I want. I want it now.
Yeah.
Even if I have to wait 2 days, it's quicker than waiting for you to get it shipped to you from this company. Then there is the price, which for me is a small part, kind of. If I'm looking at three stores, we're going to look at mom and pop, big box, Amazon. I bought a new lawnmower. I also bought a mattress. This was years ago. And if I had gone to like locally owned Joe's Mattress and whatever.
Joe's Mattress Emporium. It's a great store.
Okay. Yeah. Joe's Mattress Emporium. I went on Amazon and I got my mattress. I think it was $200.
Okay.
At the big box store, the same identical mattress was almost $600.
Okay.
It was like $550 somewhere there. And that was at the big box store.
Three times, yeah.
What is it going to be at Joe's Mattress Emporium?
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't compete with the big box store either. So it's going to be a lot more or something like that. So price for mom and pops is really hard because they cannot even compete with the big box. And big box can't compete with Amazon. Now, I will pay that extra fee, the extra two times, three times at the Joe's Mattress Emporium
mm-hmm.
if there is service. If I'm buying a lawnmower, if they have maintenance, Amazon doesn't do maintenance, like that. If I know that I'm going to get a good deal, I'm going to have a great rapport with the person, I can trust they're telling me the right information. Amazon reviews are not perfect. Some of them are paid. I might get a better review from the person selling it to me. My biggest thing that prevents me from paying that three times is when I walk into your store and you treat me like crap.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
That is just unacceptable.
Yep.
And I can't.
That's number one with a bullet for me.
I just can't handle it. I can't handle doing that. When I say to Amazon, I have a problem, I'm looking for a refund, they give me a refund in advance. They give me a credit for a new order. They do my taxes and give me a pedicure. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I just wanted to return in your pre-shipment label that you've given me already.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, they just make it so easy.
Yeah.
I've been to the local mom and pop shops buying flowers or buying, you know, just anything. Yeah, just candy or some basic materials. And I'm like, this is wrong or it's broken. And they make you feel like junk and that you did something wrong.
Yeah.
And that is...
Like, they're doing you a favor by being here.
Yeah.
And that's really the attitude that you have to avoid is... You know, it's something that I think is frustrating for the people that are in the business that I was, which is a comic and game store, was You have a lot of gamers that come in and they want to play games in the shop because their friends are there, and you know, they get to know people in the shop and things like that. And so you have a gamers area in the shop, and yet you have people that come in and bring in a game that they didn't buy in the store. Like you ask them, well, hey, you know, where'd you get that game? I could order that for you. And they, oh, I just bought it on Amazon. And I think there's a like a knee jerk frustration there of, well, you should go play it at the Amazon store then.
Exactly.
And you can kind of see it both ways, but it goes back to what you were saying too, where, you know, if the game store doesn't carry it and you want it now and you want to play it now, you're going to go to where you can get it now.
And the store is in a rock and a hard place because they can't keep two of every game that has ever been made in stock.
Yeah.
Like they just can't do that.
And because the margins are a lot slimmer.
Yeah.
And so you have to, you don't have the warehouse space. You got to pay your rent every month. Or you're going to have to close your doors and things like that. And it's really a catch 22 because you could stock two or three copies of every game, but you're going to go out of business really quick if you do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the Amazon model. I wish that I would have thought of it.
Well, I wish I would have ridden your coattails.
I wish I would have just bought some Amazon stock back in the day.
Yeah, that is true, too. Well, but I think for local stuff, there's a way for businesses to accommodate. Like, in, you know, your model, we have talked about this in the past, where maybe it's just that it's a space.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a space that's rental. Maybe there's gaming tournaments. Maybe there is, you know, if you buy the newest game, you get one free day of play with you and your friends. Or, you come up with a model that Amazon can't offer. Now, if you did a good job at that and you did a really cool model, Amazon might offer you $100 million in a couple years because they want to have local game spots all over the country that people can just go play.
Yeah.
That's why I think that they're buying and selling well. Now, I said I wanted to get the elephant in the room out of the way just so we could talk about Amazon, and then we spent half the episode with the elephant. But I think it's good to set up that preface to say that it's not that we don't like local mom and pop shops.
No,
I love them.
Not at all. Yeah.
If they can offer what I need when I need it, if the price is not 10 times as much, if it's only 3 or 4 times as much, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
And if there's a relationship.
Before we move on here, the thing about the mom and pop model is like when you treat somebody nicely and they're happy with you, doesn't that make you feel good? So, and you said that's your number one, it's my number one with a bullet too, is if I walk into a place of business and I'm treated well, my likelihood of going back there skyrockets.
Absolutely.
And the thing is that if you focus on that and you provide that additional service that I think is probably considered an intangible service that not everybody provides, you can make it. You can do that, but it takes a lot of energy, and you've got to make up your mind every single day that I'm going to go in there with a positive attitude.
Yep. And that's tough when times get tough. It's tough to keep up that momentum, you know? So, Amazon.com. One of my best things in my life. I go to bed every night. I hug an Amazon pillow. I go
really?
And eat. No, I don't know. it's an embroidered pillow that says I love Amazon. I cuddle with it. No, but Amazon has just done some really cool stuff. And we're not going to say her name. We're going to say Echo. Because it's the Echo device. But if we say the name, it's just going to be going off constantly. But the Echo device for me is just such a huge thing. I know it's controversial because of the recording stuff. And I know that Google has an equivalent and there's other devices. But again, Amazon does things so well. I just rewired my house to be fully automated smart home with that device. I mean, I'm like, turn on the bathroom light. And she's like, okay. I'm like, oh, it's just so neat. And it's so customizable. And I think that their service is very customizable. When you get Amazon Prime, you have, you know, your free shipping. You have the library of movies and those types of TV shows.
Yep.
You have the music. You have Kindle books. You have, now if you're in certain areas, the grocery discounts with Fresh and those types of things. There are just so many things that you can pick and choose your own Amazon experience.
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah. It's really, really slick. It's really neat. And as we said, I think that shipping has really that was the thing that pushed it over, because people have an immediacy issue.
If I go one, they hate paying for shipping.
Like,
if I go, even if I go on eBay, I will buy something that has free shipping over something that, like, is like, I don't want to, for whatever reason, like, I don't want to pay shipping. If I get something free, it doesn't matter if it's like the exact same price as something with shipping.
Just the same thing.
Yeah.
Josh's tip of the week. There's two ways to look at shipping on eBay. One, if it's free shipping, you are sometimes you have to consider whether it's going to be shipped poorly because it's free shipping. So sometimes if it's the same price but $15 shipping and it's the same price as the free shipping,
good point,
it might be better shipped. However, typically eBay doesn't refund shipping. So if you get something with free shipping, you could get a full refund on the item of the price. Otherwise, you'd not get any refund.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just I always like the free shipping too.
Play the game.
Don't hate the game. Don't just
hate the player. Don't hate the game.
I don't know words, phrases. Yeah, I know it. I was just being a Josh.
You're being a Josh bot.
I was being a Josh about it. So what was I gonna say? So we have the Amazon being the shipping. It's free shipping. Everything's great with that. And like, I don't go through a fast food drive-through without complaining. Like, oh, it's taking a minute and a half to get my food. There's one car in front of me. What is this life? Kill me. But why do we have that nature where it has to be
just immediacy?
So immediate. And also, like you mentioned with the free shipping, I do some local community theater stuff, and we use, you know, some of those online ticketing systems, and they have like a $2 fee or whatever. If we sell a ticket for $15 with no fees, or a $10 ticket with $2.75 in fees, so you're saving $2.25. So if I sell the $15 one with no fees, I will sell out the show. If I sell it $10 with the fees, we're struggling to get people in the seats. People are calling. Why do we have to pay this fee?
People hate fees.
It's weird. But it's a psychological thing that I think people need to realize that Amazon did a really good job of identifying that was a barrier to entry.
Well, but you're right. That's the reason I think that Amazon is as successful as it has. I think the free shipping, the Prime, is the number one reason it has become the dominant force in the marketplace that it is.
And see, me, I always get confused. Like, I think, well, that's a loss leader they started with. Eventually, they're going to charge more. But people get just pissed off every year. They're like, my Amazon Prime membership went up $10. Okay. It's not a lot of money.
No.
Like, I don't know how Amazon makes money on that. I don't know how they
There are actually people that are saying that Amazon is one of the reasons that the post office is doing so poorly.
No, that's the reason they're doing anything at all.
No, like, there are people that theorize that the, and I guess I haven't seen the numbers, and they're actually doing an audit of this right now, or at least that's what they'd like to see happen, but that the post office, like, loses money on each package that they ship overall, like, on average. Which is would be interesting. I'd like to see an actual audit of that.
I might be inaccurate here. I read or heard an interview where the post office came out with a statement.
Okay.
That said, no, actually, Amazon makes up for this much profit. So the post office came out to defend
Amazon. Says if Amazon dies, we're screwed.
Well, they didn't say we're screwed, but they said they made up a large portion of
their revenue or their profit?
Of their packages. Because here's the thing. You have letters and you know things like that, and then you have the packages.
Yeah.
How often do you send a letter to somebody?
Not a lot.
No. That's not a huge piece. And even though it's still a big piece of their revenue, stamps and those types of things, it's not as used. The packages gives them a little bit more revenue because they're actually... they're already doing these routes. Well, they're already coming to my house.
That's a good point because, the additional revenue probably helps them cover their bottom line.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing for the post office to have that. And in fact, I'm thinking that it's just a matter of time before Amazon offers a personal mail courier service.
Oh, yeah. I would not be surprised.
Need the post office. So, I mean... The post office was dying long before Amazon came along.
Oh, I would be really curious on the numbers there. Because I know that Amazon plays some geographic games with the post office where they'll set up like a distribution center, like right next to a post office distribution center and things like that. And it'd be interesting to see if the revenue they're bringing in is accounting for the increased expenses.
That is true. Yeah. Well, let's say that it is. Then who's the idiot who approves that? Because... if it is
good
true,
point, good point.
If it is true that the post office is losing money, which in my honest belief it is not due to Amazon. In fact, I think that they're getting more money due to Amazon because they're taking stuff the last mile. Amazon, USPS is not obligated to deliver the last mile for Amazon.
Absolutely not.
So what schmuck is saying, go for it? They should just say, no, thank you, Amazon. You fend for yourself.
So do you think the drone army will ever... actually take place?
There are so many regulations on that.
Yeah.
I think that it would be very difficult to make that happen.
I think maybe in urban areas it might.
Well, yeah. I think there's certain applications for it. Let's deliver certain things to a rural farm or something like that. I just think there's so many regulations with that stuff. Just the weather, wind, and I mean, how do you anticipate?
There's a lot of variables. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you anticipate that? And then how do you not stop hackers from hacking into the drones? How do you not stop people just physically shooting down the drones, or
they get tired. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it's not very. It just doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
It doesn't have much long term feasibility, or at least implementation feasibility.
Well, but there are some things that we have never considered. Just picture the just some of the big post office or services or banks, the tubes. That you can put the tube in and it just shoots.
Yep.
What if you had that
underground? An Amazon Hyperloop underground system.
Right along the roadway or anything like that. Yeah. Just right along interstates, and just have these large pods that you put all the packages in, and it just shoots it 1,000 miles across the country.
Have you talked to Bezos about this?
I have not.
You should probably send him an email. That's a phenomenal idea.
Well, thank you
and
so
it has
much.
Barcode readers throughout the thing that read barcode on the package. And
those are the types of ideas.
This is your idea,
we're
Josh.
Not thinking of.
This is how you get your foot in the door at Amazon.
Well, speaking of that, I did have a video series that I want to be the Amazon mascot, where I made a bunch of videos.
Uh-huh.
And I never did email them to Jeff himself, which I should, but I never had any positive feedback about that. No.
I haven't seen those.
You have not?
No. Are those the Truth Dweller videos?
No. I literally have a page called I Want to Be the Amazon Mascot.
On YouTube?
And on Facebook.
Okay.
And I made a series
of videos.
Check
that out.
It's pretty good. Anyway, everybody send that to Jeff Bezos and maybe he'll make me the Amazon Mascot. I really just want to do that.
You just want free shipping.
I just want free shipping all day, every day.
Oh, wait. Everybody has that already.
But see, I'm convinced that they're going to keep working on solutions like that to make things better. I mean, free shipping started it all, but they're continuing it with the Echo devices. They're continuing it with all these different services. The automated checkout stores and things like that. Like, that's just huge.
Now, I think Jeff Bezos is a great... businessman, has been a stalwart member of the community and of this country and the world. Are you at all worried that he's a Bond villain?
I'm not, only because I saw before pictures. After pictures, he definitely does, but before pictures, I don't think so. So I'm not as concerned.
But there's some Bond villains though that they come from less than nefarious backgrounds.
No, I'm just saying that he looks like a decent man with good
intentions.
Okay.
No, you really want that mascot job?
I really do. I really, 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 really do. I can't help myself. But so you think that in 50 years Amazon could be, not necessarily will be, could be a blip on the radar?
I don't think it'll ever be a blip on the radar, because like Sears Roebuck. All their retail stores, I think, basically have closed. I mean, they do not have the footprint that they once did on the marketplace. I think it's possible that somebody will come in and find a way to do what Amazon is doing better than Amazon is doing currently, or our marketplace will shift again. Like, I mean, who would have thought that 20 years ago, nobody would have said that the majority of our business of our economy was going to be taking place on the computer.
Oh yeah.
No, absolutely. Nobody would have said that. And there'll probably be something 50 years from now that changes the marketplace again. And, you know, whether or not Amazon is the one that finds the way to adapt to maybe it'll be Sears comes back 50 years from now and finds a better way of doing something that Amazon wasn't able to do.
In an underground lab, yes. Right now.
Amazon runs the show, and for good and for bad. I think there's pros and cons to it, but I think inarguably they're running the show right now.
And
not this show, but if they want to run the show and buy us out,
and I have to say, you know, God save the Amazon. You know, let the Amazon flags fly high, because I really want to be the Amazon mascot. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to Pop Culture Problems. We'll see you next time.